All right, it is an exceptionally busy Tuesday day of news for the 49ers. Normally we call it laundry day. It's the day to reset, but not this time. Maybe the short bye week, the mini bye week, the bye weekend for the 49ers after they beat the Seahawks. Maybe that gave them a little extra wind to their sails, but they've needed to make a few moves to spruce up the depth of this team. They just signed Adrian Amos, the safety, fifth-round pick out of Penn State several years ago of the Chicago Bears. That was back in 2015. So they now have two Penn State safeties on the roster. Amos is going to be headed to the practice squad. Jair Brown, obviously, a third-round pick, also from Penn State, joined the 49ers before last season. But we've talked about safety depth being something that is a little sketchy for the 49ers right now, especially with Talanoa Hufanga on injured reserve. Because of that, it was a good idea to go out and get Adrian Amos, who's been a tremendously durable player over the course of his NFL career. He's been with the Bears, who drafted him, the Packers, and then last season with both the Jets and the Texans. And that's significant because the Jets were coached by Robert Saleh and the Texans were coached by D'Amico Ryan. So in one season, Adrian Amos played for both of the 49ers' former defensive coordinators under Kyle Shanahan, the guys before Steve Wilks, Saleh, and then D'Amico Ryan. So obviously there is some system comfortability here for Adrian Amos. Let's take a look at the depth chart to see right exactly where he's going to fit in. I've already slotted him in on the practice squad. Now the 49ers are going to have to make other moves. This has not been officially announced by the 49ers. It's been announced by the agent of Adrian Amos on Twitter, but here you can see the defensive backfield. I'm going to highlight the entire room for you. Jair Brown and Malik Mustafa are the starting safeties. George Odom is the depth. The 49ers have already called up Jalen Mahoney. We saw him actually miss the tackle on the Laviska Shenault kickoff return for a touchdown. Jalen Mahoney and Jalen Graham were the two players who were whiffed on the play. I don't think Mahoney even touched Laviska Shenault. But anyway, the 49ers have decided that they need more safety depth than just the rookie Jalen Mahoney behind the three guys on the 53-man roster. That's Jair Brown, Malik Mustafa, and George Odom. So they bring Adrian Amos aboard, a guy with a lot of career experience, a player who, believe it or not, in the 2020 season, when he was with the Green Bay Packers, was PFF's second highest graded safety in all of football, behind only Jesse Bates, who was with the Bengals at the time. So you're not dealing with a scrub in Adrian Amos. You're dealing with a veteran with an established pedigree. And one thing that I will say is that John Lynch knows more about safety play than any of us. And his track record with the safety play on the 49ers has been very, very good over the years. Remember, they even got really good play in 2017 out of a seventh-round pick named Adrian Colbert. Obviously, Jair Brown is on this team right now. They're developing him into what they hope is going to be a perennial starting safety. Talanoa Hufanga from a later round, from the fifth round, into all-pro status. In the 2022 season, when Jimmy Ward was hurt before the start of the year, the 49ers decided they needed a stopgap. They needed some depth, and they made a signing that reminded me a lot of this one of Adrian Amos. They signed Tashawn Gibson Sr., who's actually even older than Amos was right now. Amos is 31 years old. Gibson still with Jacksonville. I think his suspension is finally up after the first 6 weeks. But they signed Gibson. People didn't think much of it, and then all of a sudden Gibson became the starting safety, and he held on to that position for 2 years. So Lynch knows a lot about safety play, more than any of us, due to his Hall of Fame status as a safety. The 49ers have consistently yielded good value out of that position, and they're hoping now that Adrian Amos helps them yield even more value out of that position moving forward. Now, the other piece of news that the 49ers made was at the kicking position. We did a lunch with Lombardi on the kicking position a little bit earlier, so we're going to play it right now. Lunch with Lombardi in front of the Golden Gate Bridge. We have Golden Gate Market, which has the same menu as the Boys Deli. This was awesome. This was the Sandlot. Margo's got the San Francisco. We'll check it out in a second. Anyway, 49ers did make a move, so wanted to make a quick video. They've signed Anders Carlson,
the kicker to their practice squad. They had an extra spot open on the practice squad. Now, remember, Matthew Wright briefly dislocated his shoulder against the Seattle Seahawks on Thursday. Jake Moody's already on IR. So there are questions about whether or not Matthew Wright will be available, obviously. So they got Carlson. The problem is that Carlson wasn't very good as a rookie with the Green Bay Packers. He missed 7 field goals in the regular season, missed a total of 13 kicks between the regular season and the postseason if you include extra points, including 5 missed extra points in the regular season. Plus, he missed the field goal that could have put the Packers up by 7 against the 49ers, and instead the 49ers turned around and won by 3. So Anders Carlson, maybe he's gotten a stronger leg. Maybe he's worked on some technical improvements over the course of the offseason between his rookie year and the second year, and maybe impressed the 49ers during the course of his workout, which I think probably happened last week when they worked out all 4 kickers, including Matthew Wright. I was wondering if maybe they wanted a kickoff specialist since Wright's kick was too short on Laviska Shenault's touchdown. They needed a longer kick. But Anders Carlson actually had the lowest touchback rate in the league last year, 43.5%. That being said, Anders Carlson is an Auburn grad, and we have our favorite Auburn grad right there on the show. Margo, they got an Auburn guy. Is there a chance that he's good?
Sure.
The sandwich is good, though. Which one did you have?
The San Francisco.
San Francisco, Golden Gate Market.
With onions.
With onions. Awesome. That's it, guys. I have to go eat. But you absolutely should check them out. It's really good. And check out this spot right in front of the Golden Gate Bridge. This is like right above Tunnel Tops Park in the Presidio. Nice and quiet on a sunny, sunny day. We'll talk to you soon.
That's it. That was the Sandlot. The Sandlot's the spot. The Boys Deli on Polk, I've worn their hat before, and there you go. Golden Gate Market, definitely worth checking out. Lunch with Lombardi, sandwich of the day. So the 49ers signed Anders Carlson to the practice squad and Adrian Amos to the practice squad. So the roster moves that they're going to have to make, because I've got the counter up here on our depth chart, is they're going to have to move somebody off the practice squad because they've got 17 guys accounted for right now. They haven't signed Adrian Amos, nor have they signed Anders Carlson officially at this point. So when those signings are official, I'm guessing before practice tomorrow on Wednesday, we'll also hear of a corresponding move, because the 53-man roster is full. So what you can do is you could cut somebody off the practice squad to make room. Somebody like Evan Anderson, though, has already been elevated twice from the practice squad to the 53, and that's the maximum. So if they've been impressed with Evan Anderson and they want to keep him in the building and they feel that they still need to use Evan Anderson in games, maybe he earns a 53-man roster promotion. Now, that would also necessitate somebody being cut from the 53-man roster. So you look, okay, are there any guys that may go to injured reserve? I don't know. The injury situation as it stands right now, we can actually fill this out. Jordan Mason, he was non-contact jerseys, got the AC shoulder sprain. I think the entire receiving room is healthy right now. We've got the tight end room. They seem healthy as well. I don't think there are any injuries to the offensive line. There's a chance that the 49ers activate John Feliciano, or at least open his practice window coming off of injured reserve based on his post on Instagram. Practice window will probably come first because, again, they're filled up right now on the roster unless there's somebody that we don't know about that's going to IR. Jordan Elliott trying to work back. Knee issue for the 49ers, a defensive tackle. Flanagan Foles was back at practice yesterday. So was Charvarius Ward. So those are two pieces of good news for the 49ers. And now you've got two new players, Anders Carlson and Adrian Amos, joining San Francisco. Anyway, that is the setup today. So be sure to check out the depth chart where it's at right now. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. October is the season for wearing masks and costumes, but some of us feel like we wear a mask and hide more often than we want to at work, in social settings, and around our family. Therapy can help you learn to accept all parts of yourself so you can take off the mask, because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for our emotions. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Overcome your fears with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LombardiLounge today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LombardiLounge. Speaking of Lombardi Lounge, that's the name of the podcast. So if you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, you can go ahead and check it out there. I know some of you watching on Twitter or X, as they call it these days, some of you on YouTube, some of you want this audio only, so you can go ahead and check out the Lombardi Lounge. We're going to move this to a 49ers Q&A in just a second, but first we got a little bit more news. Tom Brady is going to be on the call officially for 49ers Chiefs. I think everybody expected that. A lot of people surprised that this game is not the Sunday night game, because it is a Super Bowl rematch. It's the third Super Bowl matchup between, I mean, it's not a Super Bowl game this time, but they've played twice in the Super Bowl. Now you get the 49ers Chiefs again. I guess you had them playing each other as well in 2022. Hell, this rivalry, it goes back to 2018 before the 49ers were good. Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL against Kansas City. Anyway, this is not the Sunday night game. This is the Fox game. The Sunday night game goes to the Jets and the Steelers instead. So Devontae Adams joining his new team. They're going to be playing at Pittsburgh on Sunday night. But this one has to be on Fox, and that means that the number one Fox crew gets 49ers and Chiefs, and that is Tom Brady, Kevin Burkhart, Aaron Andrews, and Tom Rinaldi, the latter two being on the sideline. So Tom Brady is going to be back in the house. You know, in the engineering room over there at Levi's Stadium, the guys have put up a Sarah Padres helmet, like the Junipero Serra High School. It's where Tom Brady, Barry Bonds, Lynn Swan, David Bakhtiari, all those guys went to high school there in San Mateo. One of the guys in the engineering room grew up on the same block as Tom Brady back in San Mateo. But anyway, they got their hands on a Tom Brady, or not a Tom Brady, but his high school's helmet. A Sarah Padres helmet. And the engineering room at Levi's Stadium is famous by Tom Brady, because when he came in there before his first career, or his last, wasn't his last career start, but it was before Brock Purdy's first career start, before he was playing against Brock Purdy, when he came in for that Tampa Bay game in 2022, Brock Purdy stopped by the engineering room walking from the bus to the Tampa Bay locker room, because he saw all the 49ers memorabilia on the wall. The room is off of the corridor there at Levi's Stadium, so it was right on Tom Brady's path. And growing up a 49ers fan, he was just geeking out. He turned into a fanboy. He started taking pictures of the wall. I mean, it's got a lot of the 49ers greats. I know Bryant Young is one of the players that's up on the wall. You go back to the 80s, they've got some of those guys up on that wall. It's the legendary 49ers, right? So Tom Brady definitely took notice of that room on his way in. So the guys in the engineering room have gotten a Sarah Padres helmet that they've put right under all the 49ers memorabilia, and they're hoping that Tom Brady will notice as he walks by. Brady called the 49ers game a couple weeks ago, and I guess that he didn't notice because he was enmeshed in conversation with somebody as he walked by. But maybe I give him a heads up if I see him at the game on Sunday, that he's got to take a look at his favorite room over there at Levi's Stadium with the 49ers memorabilia and, of course, the Sarah Padres helmet. So, cool little twist. That's going to happen on Sunday. I guess Tom Brady's ownership bid for minority ownership in the Raiders has been approved. So, Tom Brady, the partial owner of the Raiders, officially will call the 49ers game for Fox. There are actually certain restrictions placed on Tom Brady by the NFL when it comes to his preparation for these broadcasting gigs due to his status as an owner or part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. He can't sit in on a lot of the interviews that broadcasters normally do. I don't know what the exact stipulations are, but it still is an interesting restriction on Tom Brady's part. 49ers Chiefs, though, I think it's going to be cool to have Brady calling that game. He's going to be able to analyze both Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy. One of those two is the highest rated quarterback in the NFL this year, and it is not Patrick Mahomes. It is Brock Purdy. PFF's highest graded quarterback. QBR higher than Mahomes. EPA per play higher than Mahomes. Well, I mean, Purdy is playing better football than Patrick Mahomes. But the thing is that the Chiefs are doing a lot of good stuff around Mahomes this year, which has pushed them to the undefeated record. Their run defense has improved from number 28 to number 8. They're number 1 in pass block win rate and number 2 in run block win rate. So you could tell they're doing a lot of good stuff on both lines of scrimmage. And I think that makes this a very, very stiff test for the 49ers. And some of their improving play up front, too. I've talked about it a lot. The offensive line is grading out a whole lot better, especially at the tackle and guard positions, than people expected it to. Well, now you get a test against Chris Jones and a Chiefs defensive front that's done this against the run so far this year. And the other side of the ball, the 49ers have patched together some good defensive line play, even after Javon Hargrave got hurt. But the Chiefs might be the best offensive line that they faced all year. So we can talk forever about how cool of a matchup it is to see Patrick Mahomes on one side and Brock Purdy, you know, ascending into superstardom on the other side. But these games are most often determined by what happens in the trenches. And Kansas City has been really, really good in both trenches this year. That's led to them being undefeated. I think it's been more of a factor than Patrick Mahomes so far this season. The media will not acknowledge that because everybody wants to simplify things and talk about Mahomes. But I have to tip my cap to how well the Chiefs have been constructed from the inside out, starting at that offensive line, moving outward. Mahomes is good enough to make your skill position guys look a whole lot better if you give him time. And that's the same thing. Brock Purdy's at that level too. If you give Brock Purdy time, he will dice up a defense. Trent Williams literally said that after the game on Thursday when the 49ers won at Seattle. And along those lines, the 49ers offensive line is performing at a better level than in the past. But I mentioned John Feliciano. Good chance that he returns at some point soon. You do wonder if he does ever challenge for that center spot. I think that's where the 49ers have been weakest. Dominic Pooney is a top 10 graded guard in the NFL as a rookie on the right side. Aaron Banks has been dealing with some injuries. I know he cramped up in that game on Thursday night, had to leave for a few snaps. So the tackle positions, though, have gotten a lot better for San Francisco. Trent Williams is Trent Williams. I understand there wasn't much room for improvement there, but it's improved over what they saw in training camp without Trent. Colton McKivitz is blocking, especially in the run game, at such a higher level than last year. It's allowing the 49ers to run to both directions. This is a tantalizing matchup. San Francisco playing much better than their record. The Chiefs probably playing a little bit worse than their record at this point. It's the Chiefs are number 4 DVOA. The 49ers are number 5 DVOA. May be a Super Bowl preview. Could be a Super Bowl encore from last season. Fun stuff coming out. The 49ers have made the move to open up the spots for Adrian Amos and Anders Carlson on the practice squad. They've released Terrace Marshall, the receiver from the practice squad. I know it's going to make a lot of people who just love big names happy, and they thought that Terrace Marshall was a big name. I can't tell you how many people were messaging me and tweeting at me the second after they signed Terrace Marshall, thinking that this guy was going to be a starting receiver. And I said, guys, they signed into the practice squad. They've got a lot of good receivers. He's not going to be an integral part of this offense by any stretch of the imagination. That just doesn't happen, especially at a position like receiver, where the guys that can make an impact are sought after. Safety is the position where you can find those bargain bin signings like a Tashaun Gibson, like an Adrian Amos. But Terrace Marshall was a long shot to make a big, big splash on this offense. And why don't we use this as a lesson for the people? I mean, it wasn't just people asking me on Twitter. People were making shows about this, and they wouldn't stop talking about this, even though they had no idea how Terrace Marshall was at this point of his career, how he'd fit with the 49ers, with just all this breathless speculation. There's a reason we don't partake in breathless speculation, because a lot of the times when you do partake in it, you end up being wrong, as is the case with Terrace Marshall, who's been released from the 49ers practice squad. That's from Tom Pelissero. So we can make the move on our own depth chart over here. Terrace Marshall was up there, former second round pick. Take him out of the receiver room. Tariq Owens effectively takes his spot, Terrell Owens' son, when he got healthy and was signed to the 49ers practice squad a couple weeks ago. they had the extra body in the receiver room. So Marshall leaves to give way to Adrian Amos, the safety, and Anders Carlson, the kicker. You heard me talk about Carlson when we were discussing the 49ers kickoffs when we were over at the Golden Gate Bridge. The problem with Anders Carlson is that he was last in the league in touchback percentage last year. So not sure if he's there to be some kind of dual kicker setup with Matthew Wright, who's obviously coming back from the dislocated shoulder. The biggest issue with Wright last week, aside from the injury, was that the kickoffs didn't travel far enough. That's something the 49ers have to figure out. I don't think that their kick coverage has been disciplined at all this year. Combine that with short kickoffs, it is a recipe for disaster. That's the one way that the Chiefs can stay in this game, is if special teams is this big gap, as it has been between the 49ers and a lot of teams they faced this season. The 49ers are ranked better than Kansas City on offense and on defense, believe it or not. The DVOA on offense for the 49ers is number 4. The DVOA on defense is number 5. But the Chiefs are ranked better overall because their special teams is number 14 and the 49ers are down to number 31. The only reason the game against the Seattle Seahawks was close was because of that kick return. And it was because the kick didn't go deep enough and then the coverage wasn't up to par. We saw the two missed tackles from Jalen Mahoney and then from Jalen Graham. So the kickoff length, I think, is something that can solve that if you can find a guy that can just boot it through the end zone. The problem is that there was no kicker with enough attempts to qualify that was worse than that than Anders Carlson last year. I always sit back and I reserve judgment, though. I hold off on judgment because I don't know what kind of workout Anders Carlson had with the 49ers. I know that he was a rookie last season, so maybe he showed a lot of improvement. Maybe he had a booming leg. Maybe he's strengthened since last season, and maybe the 49ers feel that if he's just focused on kickoffs, he can boot it through the end zone. I mean, sometimes it's just a technical fix that you have to make, right? Sometimes you make one technical fix, it's not a matter of leg strength, and you're booting them all through the end zone. I know that Anders' older brother, Daniel Carlson, one of the best kickers in the league, I know that he can get it through the end zone easily. So maybe, just maybe, the 49ers think that they have something for a short stint here while Jake Moody is still out with a high ankle sprain. But we do know that Matthew Wright wasn't quite getting those kicks far enough, and it was hurting the 49ers last week. We got the official news from the 49ers on the practice squad signings here. Let me get this up for you. 49ers announced practice squad moves. They've signed Adrian Amos and Anders Carlson to the team's practice squad. In order to make room, they released Terrace Marshall Jr. Terrace has been with the team since August 29th. Amos, as I said, drafted by the Bears in 2015, fifth round pick. Hey, 49ers have good luck, good track record with fifth round picks in the past. And Anders Carlson was a sixth round pick of the Packers last year. Obviously, Anders missed 6 field goals in the regular season, missed a couple more in the postseason, including a critical one against the 49ers in the divisional round. But we need to talk to Kyle Shanahan to figure out what exactly the plan is and what exactly the status for Matthew Wright is, coming off the very brief shoulder dislocation in the game against the Seattle Seahawks. So officially, the 49ers roster looks like this entering the practice week tomorrow. We might go to Vesta tonight. Those of you who are in the South Bay, I know that you like Redwood City. Maybe you don't, but you should like Redwood City. It's a cool little downtown area. I think an underrated dark horse contender for the best restaurant in the Bay is Vesta, downtown Redwood City. That might be tonight or it might be the next couple nights. It might be twice. I don't know. But I'll be down on the peninsula today. We've got almost 1,000 on YouTube. That's awesome. Everybody, if you're watching on Twitter, go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel because you get a little bit more interaction there. We can answer questions on YouTube. I can't do so on Twitter. While you're here, make sure that you're signed up for the Standard. There's a whole email sign-up page. I don't currently have that one available at the moment, but you can also just sign up for the general Standard page. This is right here. These are my articles. We graded the 49ers win at Seattle. Nick Bosa is a pressure machine. There you go.
We also talked the night the Stars in the 2024 rookie class saved the 49ers. I'm excited to come out of this bye week and really delve into everything 49ers Chiefs related as practice starts tomorrow. And then I think the season can really hit overdrive for the 49ers, especially if they can get a win this week. San Francisco currently is a 1.5-point favorite against Kansas City. Let me see if that's changed at all while that line has been out. 49ers at Chiefs. Got to go to scores, NFL, week 7. Still 1.5 favorites, so that's where it stands. Would be a huge, huge win for San Francisco, undoubtedly. Andy Chris asks, what's the status on Dre Greenlaw? We're expecting around midseason, but don't really consider that to be a scientific answer for you because there hasn't been one yet. Something that we'll really start checking up on around the 49ers bye week. Is it too early for predictions? Bo asks, because he already has one. What's your prediction, Bo? You could go ahead and put it there. I'm not going to share mine yet, but we can put yours up on the screen since you're a good, loyal viewer. He's on like every single one of these YouTube streams. When am I going to be in Visalia? I don't know exactly. My parents like to ask the same question. We'll try to figure out a time to go there and have a meetup in Visalia. Speaking of that, we're going to have a meetup on Saturday this weekend, 5 p.m. at the Candlestick Park Bar. No, it is not at Candlestick Park. It's right by Oracle Park. It's right by the Giants baseball stadium. It's right downtown San Francisco, near Caltrain, easy to get in and out of the city at that spot. 5 p.m., you could come and watch some college football. We may have a beer or two. Figure it'd be a good thing to do the day before the Chiefs game. So fan meetup on Saturday at 5. I'll even make a little text title for that here in a second. But that's all going to be organized by my wife, Margo. We'll get you guys all signed up for the standard, as you should at that point. We'll talk about Brock Purdy, who's up on that picture on our article on the standard. It's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. Bo has his prediction. Bo thinks that do you think that the Chiefs or the 49ers are going to win? I can't tell. That's a really funky delivery, Bo. You're putting like a number first and then a team and then a number. You think the Chiefs are going to have 25 points and the Niners are going to have 33. I think you're saying 49ers, 33, Chiefs, 25, right? I don't want to misquote you, but I put you up on the screen. I'm guessing that's how you decipher it. So Bo thinks the 49ers will beat the Chiefs. Manny's had a few beers at the Candlestick Bar. Yeah, so I thought that it'd be a cool spot to do a meetup. A bar called the Candlestick Park Bar right next to the Giants' new ballpark, or new. It's 24 years old at this point, which is hard to believe. Told Margo that yesterday. I was like, this place was built in 2000. She's like, what? 2000? Like, it's almost a quarter century old. But the Niners played at Candlestick much past the time the Giants did, and now there's a bar in San Francisco named after Candlestick, which is no longer there. Got a lot of predictions coming in. I love it. That would be high scoring for the Chiefs defense, 33-25. We've got another prediction, this one from David. I like his name. 30-20, 49ers over the Chiefs. When is McCaffrey expected to come back? I would think a little bit after the bye week, or right after the bye week is my best guess. I'm guessing based on how this is trending, how the 49ers want to protect Christian McCaffrey, want to peak at the right time. All of those things are very, very important. We question Kyle Shanahan about special teams all the time. What's he supposed to say? Every single time we talk to Kyle Shanahan, he says, yeah, I don't want our special teams to lose the game. Unfortunately, they put the 49ers in the position to lose some games this year. Do I think that the 49ers sign Evan Anderson to the 53? That would be a promotion because he's already out of practice squad call-ups. And I think that if they've called him up twice this early in his rookie season, it means that he's doing something right on the practice squad. So I do expect a promotion for Evan Anderson sooner rather than later. Just depends on when they next need him. They're not going to promote him sooner than they need him, right? So you've got to have the roster space to do it, and you have to have the reason to do it in any given week.
No, I don't think there's a chance the 49ers get Max Crosby, and here's why. Even if the Raiders are willing to trade Max Crosby, that doesn't mean that they're willing to trade him to the 49ers. Remember back when Khalil Mack was on the trading block? The Raiders would have rather traded Khalil Mack to a team that made a lesser offer than the 49ers than trade him to the 49ers. Mark Davis wasn't going to deal with the 49ers. So San Francisco put in a bigger offer for Khalil Mack than the Chicago Bears did, and the Raiders still traded Khalil Mack to the Bears and not the 49ers. So why would Mark Davis's thinking change? Like, he's not in Oakland anymore, maybe, so maybe he's not as bothered by the regional rivalry with the 49ers, but I highly doubt it. Max Crosby, dominant player in the past, same position, dominant player. Mark Davis has been unwilling to deal with the 49ers. Didn't make the rational business move, but there's obviously something personal about it, and I would expect Mark Davis to hold a similar standard moving forward. Talking about Hassan Reddick this morning. Hassan Reddick is not on the Lions. I said this morning that there was a 49ers-Lions arms race happening in the NFC. Aiden Hutchinson, done for the year for the Lions. They're going to need an edge rusher. Is Hassan Reddick somebody that might fit into that position? Quite possibly. So I'd look out for the Lions picking him up. I'd be surprised if Reddick ended up with the 49ers. Surprised, but nothing is impossible. I think the 49ers check on absolutely everything. Hell, they should check. They checked on Khalil Mack. They made an offer for Khalil Mack back in 2018. Why wouldn't they check in on Hassan Reddick? Why wouldn't they check in on Max Crosby too? Trade deadline is not until November 5th. Do I see Pearsall getting any snaps? I would be surprised if it happened this weekend, just based on what the 49ers are saying. I'd be surprised if they actually activated him. He's in the practice window now. But at some point soon, Ricky Pearsall will be in a game day uniform, and it's going to mean a whole heck of a lot to the 49ers. How do I feel about the rookies against Kansas City? Well, here's how I felt about the rookies against Seattle. This was the article up on the Standard. I'm actually going to give Mike the link. He's going to put this in the description. Can you do this, please, Mike? Because if you guys go check this out, then you will see my post-game article against Seattle really, really went deep into the rookie contributions. This is something you can only get when you're in the locker room of these games, and made the trip up there to Seattle. Got a couple nice video interviews too. I think I put the Dominic Pooney one. Oh no, I put the Malik Mustafa one into the article. There's a Dominic Pooney one up on the YouTube. That's Malik Mustafa with the game ball. Or not the game ball, the interception ball, which he actually showed me at the very end. Here, take a look at that. Isn't that cool? First career interception, 10-10-24, 49ers at Seattle. Number 6, Malik Mustafa. That was him showing the YouTube channel the football and that pick that set the tone for the 49ers in a good way against the Seattle Seahawks, where we saw, I mean, Geno Smith, he leads the league in passing yards, which is crazy. Brock Purdy is number 2, but Brock Purdy has about the same amount of passing yards as Geno Smith on 72 fewer attempts. Mustafa was balling. So was Renardo Green. And Renardo Green is part of this article. This is why you got to sign up for the Standard. It was about the rookie class. And it was, these guys are wise beyond their years. Listen to this. The 49ers have a parents' weekend for the rookie parents. So they call it Rookie Parents Weekend. That was a couple weeks ago. It was the day before they played the New England Patriots. So all the parents of all these rookie players show up, and Kyle Juszczyk and Chris Conley, who have two of the best-spoken veterans on this team, speak to the parents, and then they interact with the parents. And I talked to both Juszczyk and Conley, and both of these guys were blown away by the support system that all the rookies have. And to me, that was such a good piece of insight on how the 49ers build their team, because they are looking for guys that are not only going to be good football players,
but guys who are going to be good in the locker room and mature enough to showcase their football talent early in their careers. Not to mention they got a bunch of fifth-year guys this year. They got older draft classes, guys with a ton of college experience, because it was really, really important that this rookie class deliver immediately for the 49ers. They've got a star-studded roster, a bunch of all pros, but guys who have a lot of mileage on their bodies as far as going to the Super Bowl, going to NFC Championship games. This team has played 60 games over the past three seasons, 20 games a season. There is definite physical and psychological fatigue amongst the 49ers veterans. That's fair, though. Football's tough. What they needed was a rookie class that could step in right away and give the 49ers an infusion of quality depth immediately, maybe even in some cases starting caliber players. Well, we saw Malik Mustafa, Dominic Pooney, and Renardo Green all play massive, massive roles for the 49ers in the game against the Seahawks. And it all goes back to this conference they had, the rookie, maybe a meeting. I don't know exactly what the title of it is, but it's Rookie Parents Weekend. And that just shows you what they're trying to do when they're building this team. They're trying to find the guys that are made of the right stuff because they could see the tape, but there are a lot of guys that are fast in college football. You want guys that are fast, that are mature, that are good teammates, that come from good backgrounds. And that's what Juszczyk and Conley said that they were able to glean from what happened a couple weeks ago. Not to mention the fact that the team is doing this and they go out of their way to do this. And I haven't heard of many other NFL teams doing this, but they're going out of their way to do this to make sure that the camaraderie is on the level that they need to be functioning as a well-oiled machine. Because you can run into a game in week six in Seattle that you really need to win. Say that you're 2-3, you badly need to win, but you could be without Dre Greenlaw. You could be without Charvarius Ward, last-minute scratch for San Francisco. You could be without Javon Hargrave, who's on injured reserve. You could be without players at every single level of the defense, but you need to continue churning in a hostile environment with a lot stacked against you in an extremely important game. The only way that you're going to be able to consistently succeed in those situations, and the 49ers have consistently succeeded in those situations, is if you are systematically ready as a program to have next man up. And next man up is not just about pointing at the next guy who can play. Next man up is about fostering the structure of a program, of an NFL franchise that allows for the next player to seamlessly plug in. You have the guys in the pipeline. You have the training in the pipeline. You have the right type of people to be able to handle adversity. You have the culture operating so that it's a well-oiled machine that could operate even if key cogs have to be replaced at any given time. So I thought that this win against Seattle for the 49ers was so emblematic of how they've stayed consistently good throughout the years because the rookies were able to plug in seamlessly and deliver for the 49ers moving forward. They did it against Seattle, and I think they're going to be able to do it moving forward for San Francisco. That's huge, huge for their Super Bowl chances, and it's one of the reasons why they are actually favored against an undefeated Kansas City team coming up this week. Any more questions? I'm going through them right now. Pharrell wants the 49ers to sign Brock Purdy to $55 million per year. Sorry, man. I think that's going to be a little bit more expensive to get Brock Purdy under a long-term contract. Brock Purdy is unquestionably better than Dak Prescott. There is zero question among rational football minds that Brock Purdy is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. Dak signed for $60 million a year. Brock Purdy is going to sign for more. At the level of play that we're seeing from Purdy this year, don't be surprised that this is close to $70 million next year. I know the 49ers probably don't like me saying something like that, but that's just where the market's going to be. If the guy continues to play at this high of a level, he is the top-graded quarterback in the entire National Football League, then that's going to be the result. That's going to be his market value. Right now, the market tops out at $60 million, and it's a quarterback that's not as good as the next one, the next big name who's going to be eligible for a deal, and that is Brock Purdy. Only a Cowboys fan would say Dak is better. And I would say that there are a lot of Cowboys fans who would acknowledge that Dak Prescott is not better, especially following what happened against Detroit this past weekend. We can save the Brock Purdy contract talk for a few months from now. He'll be eligible officially at the end of the regular season. They could technically sign Brock Purdy to a new deal before the playoffs start. They just have to wait until the regular season's over. I don't know if Purdy's going to want to roll that kind of dice or if the 49ers are going to want to execute something that early. That's technically when that can open up. So why don't we just pump the brakes a little bit, cool the jets on all of this discussion. Why isn't the Chiefs game on a Sunday night or a Monday night? Good question. They decided that Aaron Rodgers and the Jets were going to be on Sunday night. I'm sure Sunday night football isn't devastated by that because they've got Devontae Adams in the mix now. There's a Monday night doubleheader this week, though. I don't think the 49ers and Chiefs deserve to be part of a doubleheader. That would have needed to be the only game. The doubleheader this week is Baltimore at Tampa Bay and the Chargers at Arizona. So Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, the team that's playing some of the best defense in the league, the Chargers, against the Cardinals, that's in the 49ers division. That's actually really interesting. And the Ravens and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I might post up at the Ravens bar for that on Monday night. That's, I think, Standard Deviant Brewing Company in the Mission. That's where the Ravens bar is. They have a good crowd there. I'd like to go check that out. But Sunday night football after the 49ers and the Chiefs, that is the Jets against the Steelers. The meetup is at 5 p.m. this weekend. Yep. And the Vols do play Alabama at 12:30, but then there's the Georgia game, right? The Georgia plays Texas at 4:30. So I think we'll watch part of that during our meetup. Margo and I want to bike across the Golden Gate Bridge on Saturday in the afternoon. So we don't want to do the meetup too soon. I think we're going to do it around 5. I'm going to make a little text title. Let's put this up on the screen right now while I type. You guys can check out the standard. But I have to make a text title for the Lombardi Lounge meetup. Should come into the city on Saturday, though. Saturday, what's the date? Day before the Chiefs game. It's going to be October 19th. There it is. Lombardi Lounge meetup, Saturday, October 19th, 5 p.m. at the Candlestick Park Bar. That is right there. It's on 3rd Street, right by the ballpark. So you can come if you're taking the train into the city, easy. If you're driving into the city, it's right next to 280. Should be a lot of fun. We did one of these in Nashville. We had some family members of players, 49ers players, come through. That was really cool. And we're going to do another one of these in San Francisco at 5 p.m. on Saturday. There's a typo there. So I'm going to fix it. Don't want a typo on the advertisement, but come join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. There it is. Typo is officially fixed. Cool. Well, this was good. The 49ers have signed Adrian Amos. They've also signed Anders Carlson. Both of these guys added to the practice squad. They've released Terrace Marshall from the practice squad to make room. Roster is full. Ready to go for Kansas City week, which starts tomorrow. 49ers favored by 1.5 against the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you have any questions about the Adrian Amos signing,
He was a top graded safety in football in 2020. Played for both Saleh and D'Amico Ryans last year. So I think the 49ers like how he fits into the system. And I will finish up with this thought. John Lynch knows more about safety play than any of us. I think that's a fair way to finish. All right, everybody take care. Hit that sub button. We'll talk to you really soon. Oh, also, don't forget, Lombardi Lounge meetup, Candlestick Park Bar, Saturday, 5 o'clock. Hope to see you there.